It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a new day. It's a new chapter. It's a new era. It's a new mindset.
Jacoby Myers in motion. O'Connell takes the snap, throws it out to him. He's going to throw to the end zone. Touchdown, Devontae.
I love hearing that sound.
You know, I thought at the end of the year it was nice. Allegiant Stadium started to turn into a home field advantage. You could hear the roar of the crowd.
Well, to me, it's not just unconventional. It's the right way, and it's our way.
Vegas is the global hub of the Raider Nation. Now it's got to act that way every home game.
Raider Nation, as I always say, you know, you show up and we'll show out.
JT the Brick.
It's a real thing. It's a tangible thing. You get in the building and you feel it.
It's a war to track down Kansas City. I've always been a big fan of running the football.
Hand up to Zamir. Cuts to the right side. First down, 35. First 40. Down the 50. Near side, 40. 35, 30. And Zamir White might have just salted away a Raiders win.
I'm always looking for opportunities to compete, man. And this is a great one here.
And now,
Raider Nation unite!
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT in studio today with Bobby Machado. Congratulations to Bobby. The Celtics have won the NBA championship. And man, he is a diehard Celtic fan. And I don't like anything sports out of Boston. I struggle, but I congratulate all my friends when they win. No matter who they are, it hurts more when it's Boston. Fortunately, I don't have any Kansas City friends. I want to make that point clear. I got a lot of friends, man. Very lucky. You know what my friends mean to me. Many of our partners, many of you on YouTube, many of the Raider Nation, the Black Hole, which I'm a member. I got a lot of friends. I'm lucky, blessed. I don't get any friends in Kansas City. I've never met anybody. I don't know anybody in Kansas City, so I don't have to congratulate the Chiefs. But I got a lot of Boston buddies, so I got to congratulate them on winning another championship. And all the Southeast, man, all the Beantowners are telling the Lakers that they got one more than the Lakers. 18-17. Well, five of those Laker wins were in Minneapolis. Minneapolis Lakers. And then 12 were in Los Angeles. You got to add up expansion when you move a team or you relocate. It's the same team. So Boston, 18. The Celtics, 17. My Yankees have 27. No one in my lifetime, your lifetime, and our grandkids' lifetime will never catch the Yankees at 27. But people criticize. Well, half of those are in the 30s and 40s and 50s. Yeah, and they kept track back then, and that matters. Imagine if we didn't keep track of the Raiders championships until the 90s. Right? We keep track of the history of sports, and the Boston Celtics, really, statistically, they go down as one of the better teams of all time. They do. I didn't think they'd be that good. And maybe they were just there in an era of this league now where there's a lot of flaws. But Denver was injured. Denver didn't win. The Lakers with LeBron were highly overrated. Dallas had Kyrie Irving, who was awful in the NBA Finals. And who else? I mean, my Knicks were pretty good, but they got injured. Indy was a no-show once they beat the Knicks. They were injured, and what Boston did is they just, don't you hate that term, they played the teams in front of them. They beat the teams they were supposed to beat. They did not go through a gauntlet. They did not. Maybe because they were so good that there couldn't be a gauntlet for them. So this is a Boston team now that will go down in Celtics history, not only as the most recent championship team, but I think a really good team because they have a big two or three. Porzingis came back and played through injury, which was cool. Jaylen Brown's a great player. He won the MVP of the NBA Finals over Jason Tatum. That's hard to do. Jason Tatum's one of the best players in the league. So that's like, remember Durant beat Curry for two NBA Finals MVPs? I thought Curry was the best guy on the Warriors, didn't you? Curry, to me, was the best Warrior. But Durant won the NBA Finals MVP twice because Durant was better in the NBA Finals statistically, and he ended up getting the award. And that's a big award for Jason Tatum because that goes down with some big names along the way. From Bill Russell, it's a Bill Russell award. So I'd like to talk about this today. Again, I got to break down the title of the show, Raider Nation Radio, and make it the JT the Brick Show on days like today because I'm doing JT the Brick Radio. And there'll be a little bit of Raiders recap, but quick breaking news. Raiders are on vacation. They're on vacation. We're not. So I told people in the chat, anybody else wants to talk Raiders here for the next month? That would be kindly appreciated. If you don't, I'll have content here. I don't have a lot of interviews because I'm not calling my Raider guys. I'm giving them a break because they're on vacation. So I'm not going to call someone unless they have advertising with us or something. We'll have a couple of the regulars on, but I give everybody a JT timeout. Don't you like a JT timeout? Give them a timeout. Bobby, you don't have one. You can get one if you want, but a JT timeout. And I'm going to do most of the heavy lifting here. As I told the people in the chat, this is not me being a cop or putting out oil fires or paving roads. Those are real jobs. This is talking sports. And we should all be able to talk sports more. Now, there are Raider blogs that are going to go for 40 minutes. All Raiders, not me. We're going to have Raider content because starting July 8th, we debut our summertime radio, which will be the top 10 Raider games of all time from 10 to 1. I think we got 4 or 5 honorable mentions already. So we're going to dive into this, and we're going to dive into it pretty hard. And we'd like to hear from you along the way. And if you think so, I'm not calling for the top 10 games yet, but I'm getting close. And we're going to ask you some of the games that you remember, went to. Some of the ones that are most important. The problem with this thing we're doing this summer, this summertime radio, is it's not perfect. It's not supposed to be perfect. It's not affiliated with the Raiders, so this isn't the Raiders list that they handed me to read. Nope, it's mine. My show, my name, and I'm going to have the top 10 games. I don't get a lot of help from you because you went to a lot of the games. And the other issue is a lot of those games aren't modern. They're not like the last 10 years. They're not. But there were some big games here in Vegas already, remarkably big games, historic games for the Raiders, but you can't say history with the Las Vegas Raiders until you win a playoff game. We're talking playoffs. You got to win a playoff game or two, or the Super Bowl, the AFC Championship game. So it's tough to include Vegas, but I think we got a couple of good selections that we're going to roll with also. And that's what I have to say today. Again, today is one of my favorite days of the year. Today's my son's 21st birthday. My youngest son, Jason, turns 21 today. My wife and I did it. We got him to 21. He's 21. We're going to have a legal beverage with him tonight. Wink, wink. Going to go out to dinner, and we're excited. Proud of both my sons. Really proud of both of them. They're both diehard Raider fans, too. Born into the Raider Nation. Hardcore Raider fans. And my son turns 21. So he's working today this summer. And we're going to get him at home tonight, take him out to dinner. And June 18th is a very important day for me as my two sons now are both legally of age, and my youngest one today. He loves to golf. He loves to go out and golf, races home from work, goes and plays 9 or 18 holes, gets good grades in school, and he goes to ASU, which is a lot of fun. And now he's going to be able to go back for his senior year of age, and dad's going to be with him a lot. You're going to find out. I'm going to be running up and down Mill Avenue in ASU his senior year. So I'm happy about that. So really cool as we open up the show today. And I'm going to begin, and I'll do it next hour, too. I'm doing 2 one-hour shows today. This hour, then we got a new. People go on lunch at 12, 12:30. They catch me locally. People podcast us live, or they listen on demand. Need everybody. Appreciate everybody. If you subscribe to our YouTube page, we have some pretty big new information on my YouTube page and what we're going to be doing coming up here. JT the Brick YT. Is where you can go find me there on YouTube. And we're streaming live. We get a nice group of people in here as we're ready to go. So this weekend, I'm going to recap it quickly. Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame Friday night. Having the pleasure to MC that event was really special. Tony Bonici and Jesse Leeds from Lotus Broadcasting both got in to the Hall of Fame. I was on stage for that check presentation and all that. It meant a lot to me. Two guys that I care about. Tony's been a mentor of mine. Jesse, a great friend of mine, a sales god in this town over the years. Kenny Bayless, the referee, oh, nothing. Pacquiao Mayweather, amongst all the championship fights. Brady Exper, the most successful amateur golfer in Nevada State history, over 100 titles. He's in 3 Hall of Fames. C.J. Watson got in from Bishop Gorman, 10 years in the NBA. A really good player. That was a lot of fun to see him. So it was a good night, good after hours, good party. And I want to thank everybody at the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame for having me being involved with that. It's bumped into a lot of friends and good time. Family event and Lee's Family Forum used to be the Dollar Loan Center. Man, they had that room set up big. If you're in that room, that's a big room. Everybody filled the seats. We flew through it. We had a good time and was real happy about that. So one of my best friends flew in from college. Well, it was in my fraternity. We went to Dead & Company on Saturday night. Man, going to the Sphere. Quick update on the Sphere. My wife got up this morning to buy Eagles tickets on the presale. So we live in a new world now. Used to be able to, Bobby and I used to go to the concert arena wait in line overnight. We both did that. Sleep out overnight to stand in line to buy concert tickets in the olden days. Now you just get on your phone and your app and you get in queue, you get in line. So my wife started off with 18,000 people in front of her, got it down to four, got it down, and then got in to get Eagles tickets. And no, we didn't get bounced. And we normally, we got a nice budget for concert tickets, not this one. Our options, I think because it was opening night, our options for tickets opening night were not in our wheelhouse. I'm talking bleeping ridiculous. I was like, whoa. That much? No, this ain't the Rolling Stones for me. So we're going to look at our options down the road for that. And then yesterday, I emceed the Raiders rookie draft mixer, which was fun and a lot of fun there. I'm going to dive into that mostly of the second hour. I got a chance to interview the Bowers family, Brock Bowers, his mom and dad. And his mom is a Hall of Fame athlete at Utah State University. Really athletic. Great mom, emotional on stage. Really excited to talk to her. And then the other rookies that I talked to were all pretty excited. You know, they're all really excited to be up there. And the Raiders put on a show. I mean, if you're the parent of a kid who plays sports and you go to like a high school banquet, that's pretty cool, right? Your kid goes to a high school, he graduates, he's on the football, lacrosse team, baseball team, you have a banquet. I mean, I don't know how the Raiders do all this. But they put together, which was a mini graduation for all of these young football players. And some of them are not going to make the team. Some of them just aren't going to make the team. They're going to get cut. They're not going to make the practice squad at all. But they were up there and they were treated as Raiders with the respect that they should be treated. And it was a beautiful thing. Really enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun. And then the rookies who were on stage with me was Jackson Powers Johnson, Trey Taylor, the safety out of Air Force, and Ron Stone Jr., who's undrafted on the D-line, and his dad played on the offensive line for the Raiders. That were a lot of fun. The parents who came up, as I mentioned, Deanna, she was fantastic. That's the Bowers family. A lot of fun to talk to them. Deanna Bowers and Warren Bowers from Napa, and they talked about their son. But they didn't talk as much about their son. They talked about the family and what they were able to accomplish at Georgia, what they're hoping to accomplish here as a family. And then it was a mixer. They met with all the great big sponsors of the Raiders and partners. And that was very fulfilling too. And we had a great night. So that was a couple of hours with the rookies. I was backstage with a few of them and Dylan Lauby and a couple of the other ones that I was talking to along the way. They're all super excited to be Raiders. They all know that they kind of got to keep their body and their mind right as they head into training camp coming up in Costa Mesa. And it's going to be very important because there's a what's interesting when you're at these events with the rookies, the rookies are under a lot of pressure to make the team. Not the high rookies like Bowers and Jackson and, you know, the top guys that go, they're going to make the team. Raiders put a lot of draft equity into them. They're going to make the team. But if you're a fifth, sixth, seventh rounder or you're undrafted, the practice squad is staring right at you, baby. Practice squad's right over there. If you're not going to play well, we're going to put you on the practice squad, and we can do that. Okay, there's an option there. And these players, I think the Raider roster, as I've been telling you for months, is better than it was last year when they won eight games. It's a better roster. I don't think anybody can debate it. But the big debate about the Raiders is, well, they don't have a quarterback. Well, they won a bunch of games down the stretch with Aiden O'Connell. We have to assume that Aiden O'Connell's better than he was last year. We have to assume that he's going to be better because he won big games last year. He made big throws to Michael Mayer, Devontae Adams, Trey Tucker bombs. He played well. He wasn't elite. He wasn't very good. He played well. And Aiden O'Connell is now being coached up to improve. And we all know that Gardner Minshew Mania can win games. We've seen him beat the Raiders every time he plays the Raiders, close down the Oakland Coliseum, and beat us last year in a make-or-break game. He can win. And there's a lot of people coming up to me just around the city, friends, text messages, who's going to make it, who's going to start as quarterback. And I don't need to have that answer today, nor do I want to give that until we get out to training camp. We talked to Vinny Bonsignore. Thanks to Vinny who sat in for me yesterday. I think we had Vinny on Thursday of last week. And in that second practice, remember, they canceled the third day of practice. In that second practice, the offense didn't look great, which isn't a concern for me yet. Yet it's not. If the offense doesn't look good the second week of training camp, and then the offense gets a chance to play on the road in Minnesota for a preseason game and doesn't look good, then it will be very concerning. Very concerning if that's the case. We are nowhere near that now. We're expecting the defense to be ahead of the offense. God, when's the last time we've ever said that in modern Raider history? We never said that in the Derek Carr era. We had a couple of good defensive players, but the Raiders' offense with Crabtree and Carr and whoever they had, if it was Josh Jacobs, the offense was usually better or more ahead of the defense until the Max Crosby era began. And then when Mad Max came here, there was a philosophy change led by Mad Max Crosby that in practice and wherever we're out there on the field, we are going to beat the offense. And Max Crosby's been living by that by example. The defense is ahead of the offense. So as we continue to do this, you know, and a guy just told me, Willie said, last year, JT, you ripped Gardner Minshew. How could we lose to Gardner Minshew? Absolutely. No, Gardner Minshew was good last year, too, not elite. So you're proving my point for me, Willie, that they were good enough to beat the Raiders last year, and the Raiders were pretty good. But you got to beat Gardner Minshew when he's on your schedule last year if you're the Raiders. You know, if you're looking at Gardner Minshew coming into Vegas, you got to win that game. And for us, we're in a pretty good situation. We were in a really good situation when last year when it came about because, you know, Gardner Minshew was good. The game was in Indianapolis. He made Michael Pittman Jr. look good. They got a good running game. But Gardner Minshew is not going to scare a lot of people on our schedule this year. Aiden was a rookie last year. He's going to improve. If I can't say that, I don't know what to say. If I can't sit here and say Aiden O'Connell's going to improve, then I got no bleeping show. Then we're dead. We're dead in the water, baby. If we can't say that Aiden O'Connell's going to be better and hopefully significantly better than last year, we don't got much of a show. Then I'm just going to do a defensive show. And Marvin Lewis was the coach of one of the greatest defenses of all time in Baltimore. And the Raider last year's defense in the final four or five games was electric. They were fantastic. The defense started making plays, turning the ball over, and we didn't even have Christian Wilkins, and the offense didn't have Brock Bowers. So the new House of Dragon came out. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, you know, you like the Game of Thrones. I often reference the Game of Thrones here as I feel like I'm always at King's Landing at the castle trying to protect the Raider Nation from all the bogus media on the outside, all the bogus media that's trying to get through the Raider castle. And my storyline this year, which I'm sticking to, all the interviews I go on other shows, they put me on in Denver. They ask me to come on in this show. And the same thing I say every time, we're better than last year. We are, but that's on paper. And paper's not involved much in football. It's tablets now. We are better. The season ticket holders of the Raiders, we're better in our fundamental look at this team, understanding the players, getting to know the draft picks. I want to know the draft picks who are going to play. Sorry. I really apologize. That's me. I'm not the show of the practice squad. I'm not. There's a lot of other guys who know a lot more about the practice squad players than I do. And hallelujah to them. It gives you a good segment or two for a guy who's not going to play in a game. Not my way of doing radio. I'm talking about the guys on that team fighting the Harbaugh brothers week one and two on the road in L.A. and Baltimore. Who's going to make the team? Who's going to start? And all the practice squad players that make the practice squad, we love them. We love them, man. They practice. They're part of the team. They are Raiders. But we got to figure out who's going to make this roster. Who's going to make the roster? And then there's a little conspiracy we got going on now. Multiple people said, any other quarterback we can get out there? I don't like these two. And I looked at them and said, what? Well, if you were around, you're looking around, you're kind of seeing what's going on. Maybe there's someone else out there. Should we call? Send out the Ravens, right? Game of Thrones, send out the Ravens to all other 31 teams and go, hey, man, we might be interested in one of your quarterbacks. Ryan Tannehill. Someone else to come in here to outplay Aiden and Gardner Minshew. I'm not on that team. I'm with Aiden O'Connell for now, Gardner Minshew for now. to see how this thing shapes up, to see how it shapes up. We don't have Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. I'm not losing sleep over that. We couldn't get Jaden Daniels. It was too expensive to do that. We don't have Caleb Williams. So we're going to have to make sure the ball comes out, the quarterback is protected, and the team is ready to go. That's a 21-minute monologue. I didn't take a breath. Not even a sip of coffee. Because I think if I take a sip of coffee, I'm not talking, and that's not good radio. So maybe we'll hear from a Raider fan today, coming off the Raiders draft mixer. If you were there or you're just excited about this draft class. And here's a good topic today. What are you Raider fans doing the next couple of weeks? Seriously, I'm loose today. I'm normally not. We're not doing popcorn and movies. We're not doing barbecue food. We don't do food on the show. We don't, other than we're promoting Grimaldi's. We don't do a lot of food on the show. But this is a tough time in sports radio. You're gonna hear some bad radio, man, the next couple of weeks, man. You're going to hear more people talking. You don't even know their names, trying to crack jokes, trying to be comedians, trying to tell you about their summer, what they did on a boat. Who are you again? I don't know your name. Why are you on the radio? You're going to tell me about your boating trip? Oh, you're going to get a lot of that. You're going to get a lot of that coming up here. We're going to stick to sports. I'm going to give you multiple sports to talk about, all laced in with Raider talk. And then we'll get you to July 8th, and we'll knock out what I think is going to be pretty cool, the top 10 Raider games of all time. 702-365-9200 if you want to get in. I'd like to know what you're going to be able to do and get things going, and what are you doing in the next couple of weeks as a Raider fan? You know, Raider fans are pretty active because most of the ones I know really well are out west, right? Bay Area, Oakland, L.A., Vegas. We're starting to get some Vegas fans that are real hardcore Vegas fans because we got most of our hardcore fans are in Oakland and L.A. But a lot of those fans that I know like to go up north. They go to Tahoe. They go to the lake. They go fishing. They go to the beach. They camp, right? A lot of Raider fans camp. They do a lot of other things out there. The Raider fans on the East Coast, the Phil Villapiano fans on the Jersey Shore go to the water. They go to the lake, they do something too, and then the Raider fans come in, bat out of hell, crazy. Here we go, let's count down to real games. And as I told Bobby, because I'll be calling him on the radio, doing radio play-by-play again, I think this is, I hope I'm right here, because I don't know this. This is not from Coach Pierce through me, but I hope that we're going to see more preseason play. I really do. I think we have to. I think we have to play, and that's a risk. That's a risk, and a lot of other coaches who were recently here did not believe in that risk of putting players out in preseason games at all, just didn't want to do it. I don't think the Raiders can do that. We've been here now. This is the fifth season. We tried all these different camps, indoor, outdoor, 105-degree. Let's go now to let's go to Costa Mesa. We're trying everything around here to make it work, trying to get it going. League's not helping with the two road games right out of the gate. I'll tell you, that league preseason schedule's pretty hard. Cowboys were arguably the best team in football last year. They didn't prove it in the playoffs. We know how good the 49ers are. They're the team to beat in the NFC. And Minnesota ain't no joke on the road. So in that first preseason game, I think a lot of undrafted guys, rookies will play. Maybe the starters will get a little bit of a sniff. You got to figure out who's going to make this roster, especially with special teams. And you need preseason games. Preseason, I believe, is an advantage to this organization this year because of Joe Philbin, Marvin Lewis, former head coaches, Tom Coughlin, who's consulted with Antonio Pierce, and I believe Antonio Pierce, who wants to coach some football in the preseason, wants to coach football, not a scrimmage. A lot of the NFL now has turned into a scrimmage, and the best way to get any contact and any players to pair up with another team at practice and go live and do that. And that's in the whole calendar of 12 months, 365, it's just a few days where you're able to play another team in practice in pads. Imagine being a professional football player and not playing football, your job, in pads. Baseball players, every day Aaron Judge goes into the cage. They can find some kid throwing 93 and paint in the outside corner, and he gets batting practice. There's no batting practice in the NFL anymore. It's, hey, man, we don't want you to get hurt. We're going to bubble wrap you. We're going to have you lift weights. You look great in shorts. You got the bubble over your helmet. We're going to protect you, which is brilliant. But we're going to see what you can do when the season starts. That puts pressure on coaches, on everybody else. So what I think what's going to happen, is I believe the Raiders preseason, including training camp, going to be hard. It's going to be hard. You know, this is kind of like come back to school from summer school. You had the cigar party. Got a beautiful stadium. We got draft mixers. We got salmon cakes. We got great food, great drink. You got a chef. We're going to work. It's the only way we're getting past the Harbaugh brothers or splitting against them in week one and two. We have to be physically more prepared mentally and emotionally for a battle. Like the Dragons in Game of Thrones, the first two games better have an energy like a playoff game. And I know that because Coach did tell me that. Did tell me that at the golf tournament. He's going to be ready to go into L.A. straight out of Compton. Hard. Hardcore. Because Harbaugh is going to have that place rocking. They don't have many fans. They don't have a lot of fans. They don't. There's not a lot of Charger fans. There's no Clipper fans. If you combine all the Charger fans and Clipper fans, total, Chargers and Clippers, combined them in L.A., which has one of the biggest populations in the world, you couldn't fill the lower bowl, at SoFi Stadium. So the Raider Nation is going to take over that game. We know it. But it doesn't matter if the Raiders aren't peaking early. This is not a season to get look at the team for 4 weeks and see where we're at. People will be benched if they're not playing well out of the gate, and there'll be a level of intensity that you haven't seen in a while. There are high expectations for this team because the roster that Tom Telesco is putting together with some of the older players that have been here is very good. It is a good roster. If you can get these freaks who say every 10 seconds, we don't have a quarterback, out of the conversation, it's a pretty good roster. But it's going to count on Brock Bowers being ready. It's going to count on Michael Mayer being ready. And this kid, Zeus, Zamir White, it's got to be ready. And the only way I think you can get him ready is a hard training camp, physical, and a couple of reps in the preseason. And then you just throw it up there and say, hey, man, we're good. Let's break it down. We got about a week off before the season starts. You guys are ready. We're going to let you out of the cage in L.A., and you're going to be ready to rock. That's what I hope happens here. 702-365-9200. The monologue brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue. Best happy hour in town, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. Late bites, great food, great sports and entertainment. The staff at Golden Entertainment is great. You always feel like when you walk into any PTs, everybody there knows you behind the bar. All right. I'm shut out so far. You don't shut out, JT. I'll get going. Recap of the whole weekend. Bryson DeChambeau wins the U.S. Open. That was interesting. The Celtics are NBA champs. It looks like the Florida Panthers. And a lot happening in sports. Hope everybody had a tremendous Father's Day weekend with your family.
From a spiritual standpoint, I think I enjoyed this journey more than any other season just because of the redemption arc and being able to learn as much as I did about myself and my teammates and the organization and the people that I'm around. It's a lot of good people here, so it makes coming to work a lot of fun.
JT, back with you. That's Kyrie Irving. I don't care about his spiritual relocation. He got smoked. He was terrible. He was awful. I could care less about an athlete and how they've matured when they're making $40 million a season or $28 million or $35 million. So does that mean the Brooklyn Nets and the Celtics get a refund for when Kyrie was a blank and he was mailing it in and wasn't playing at that level and he was a bad teammate? I don't reward good behavior after bad behavior. That's one of the things I've talked about in sports my whole life. If you're a blank, and everybody knows it, and then all of a sudden, oh, man, he's so good, man. He saw the light. He did all that. Well, what did that mean? Like this thing with Luka Doncic, everybody's talking about he's overweight. He's a little bit out of shape. He's hurt. Guy's playing injured, everybody. Luke is unbelievable. He's playing injured. And when you're not at 100%, you can never judge an athlete when they're not healthy. That's another thing. That's a big difference that fans do. I'm a hardcore fan. when the Yankees blow a save, I freak out. I'm like, oh my God, we're up 4-3, we lose 5-4, what happened? Well, that was someone getting beat or making a mistake or throwing the ball in the dirt or dropping a ball, whatever it is. And I go crazy. But when someone's injured, like Luka Doncic, I don't sit there and criticize him and say, oh my God, he doesn't play defense well. He's a pure scorer. He's a terrible defender. Well, check that box now going forward. If he doesn't improve, and he shouldn't play in the Olympics for his country, which is hard for a sports talk host like me to say, don't play for your flag. But guys like Luka Doncic and Kawhi Leonard, who are hurt, you can't play more basketball in the offseason and believe you have the right to collect $45 million the next year. If you're injured or you're just toast after a long year like Luka, you got to shut it down. You got to get therapy. You got to get treatment from your injuries and then ramp up, because if you play deep into the finals like the Mavericks and the Celtics, you have a very short offseason. You're going to play very quickly here, and then you're going to throw in the Olympic Games? Wow. I mean, that's hard to do, but how do you tell an athlete that you can't play for your country? Scottie Scheffler is playing golf for the Olympics. If he was a little bit banged up, he's playing golf. If his wrist wasn't right or his knee wasn't perfect, I'd say still play in the Olympics, man. You know, you're hitting a golf ball. You can probably grind through it. When you're a football player or a baseball player, you know, when you're injured, you got to shut it down. And Luka didn't. He played through it. I thought that was pretty cool. He played through. If that was the regular season, Bobby, if we were sitting here in November, December, Luka wouldn't be playing for 2 weeks. They get him right. And he played in the postseason, which I think is cool. In regards to Boston, if you're a basketball fan out there, and I think you are, and if you don't like basketball, you're probably a better caller, because you didn't either like the sport, you don't like where the sport is going. 702-365-9200. Maybe you just don't like the game as much. I got a buddy stay at my house this weekend, one of my best friends. He's a lacrosse icon. Icon lacrosse. Never looked at the TV for the NBA. Just doesn't watch it. I'm like, okay, I got a house guest that doesn't watch the NBA. All right. But a lot of people don't watch the NBA. A lot of people watch Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark. If Caitlin Clark was in the NBA, it'd be the highest rating NBA finals of all time in our lifetime, including Bird Magic, if this Caitlin Clark was playing in the NBA finals. But Boston's a very good team. I think Boston is going to go down all time, this unit, as a top maybe 15, 16, 17 team of all time, because they backed it up. You might say, oh, they'd never beat the bad boy Pistons of 89-90. Well, maybe they wouldn't have beat Jordan and Pippen at the top of their game. That's fair. I would agree. Maybe the greatest team the Warriors had with Durant, Curry, and Klay at their best. Maybe this Boston team doesn't win, but they pretty much beat everybody else. They got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Those are two of the best young players. They got good coaching. They were fantastic. Bobby, let's play this Mazzulla soundbite. This is the coach of the Boston Celtics. Remember why he was there. I'll say this in a second, but you could tell. I thought he did a fabulous job in the postseason.
Praise and criticism are both just as dangerous if you don't handle them well. And I think we talked about that as a team this year. Like, winning is just as dangerous as losing if you don't handle it well. Like, you need that. You need criticism. You need praise. You need expectations. All those things go into making who you are as a person, making who you are as people, as an organization.
You know, I was mentioning last night, not around the kids, and they're old enough. My kid turns 21 today. And my other was 23, but Ime Udoka, who was the coach of this team, Brad Stevens, the architect of the team after Danny Ainge left. If Ime Udoka did not act poorly around his wife and his marriage and what he did, and he was removed from his job, Mazzulla never becomes the head coach. So you're looking at Ime Udoka, who had the job and ends up moving on to another job because he performed poorly when it came to the workplace environment. Now we see Mazzulla step in and win. Now, do you put Mazzulla in this category of great coaches? I don't know. He had the best team, and I don't think the road was really difficult. I didn't think it was too difficult, the road, for the Celtics to get it done. But all you got to do is win the title, and you're a champion the rest of your life. You don't have to win 6. You don't have to win 11 NBA titles like Bill Russell. All you have to do is win one title, and you're a champion the rest of your life. You don't need 5. LeBron's got 4. He doesn't need 8 or 12. He's got enough. The question is, can you get that first one? And then once you do it after that, everything's gravy. Thor in Summerlin. Thor, wake this place up, man. Everyone thinks I'm like a substitute teacher in the summer. You're Raider Nation 24-7. Let's go.
24-7, 365. JT, let's go, man. There ain't no offseason in the Raider Nation. You know what I'm saying? We are ready to go, man. You know, first I'm going to say congratulations to the Celtics fans. I can't stand Boston or any of their teams, but congratulations, you guys. They're the new leader in NBA championships. But let's talk about football, man. I know it's off season, so it's quiet, but we have to be excited. I know you keep talking about it. This team won 8 games last year. That's not world-breaking or crazy, but we're definitely better. We are definitely better. Yeah, we need the young tight ends to step up, even though they're rookie and second-year player. We need a second-year quarterback to really come into his own now. You know what I'm saying? And we got a great backup, you know, but we have, as far as backups, we have a really good backup in Gardner Minshew if something happens. Hoping no injuries. Let's let everything work out this year. Our offense is so ready to go. I mean, come on, man. You got Davante Adams. You have these tight ends and Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer. You have Jacoby Meyer. Like Trey Tucker is ready to take that next step. Like, the speed is incredible. This offense should be able to explode. The defense, like we said, is only going to get better. They should be the strength right now. But I believe this offense has enough talent. Zeus is not to be slept on. We need that line to be monstrous for us. You know what I'm saying? And I can see this offense putting up 28 to 30 points a game. And with that, the way this defense is going to perform, JT, man, you got to be fired up. Raider Nation, man, we're always fired up. We're ready to go.
Thanks, Lord.
We're out there yelling Raiders when we see Raider people, whether it's June 20th or September 8th or whatever.
Yes.
Let's go. It's good. All day, every day, Thank Raider
you,
Nation.
Thank you, Thor. Appreciate that. And again, he said even at the end, if it's Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew, that's what the summer is going to be about. You know, I don't think it's going to be bad. I don't mind getting involved in the debate once I have something to debate. I have nothing to debate now. Antonio Pierce basically said Aiden O'Connell will get the first snap. I always said that day, I'm assuming that meant training camp. He'll get the first snap. Forget about rookie OTAs and OTAs mandatory. None of that. Okay, he's going to get the first snap at training camp, and then we'll see what happens. Does that mean that's going to be taken away from him at training camp? I don't think so. Unless Gardner Minshew plays exceptional, so good that they look at the film every day and go, we got no choice. We got to put Gardner in as the starter to start it off. And then that would be interesting, because we'd all find out from our media and everybody who's going to practice and what we're seeing out there that he's significantly better, and then everybody would be excited to see him play because he'll have proved it at training camp. But I don't know how he's going to be able to prove it if Aiden gets the first snaps with guys like Devontae and Bowers and Getsy's new offense. Who is Luke Getsy going to be more comfortable with running 12 personnel? I think Gardner Minshew has an advantage in the 12 personnel, the two tight end set. I think he does. But then again, I don't know. Don't know if he does, because maybe they love something about Aiden O'Connell's decision-making and getting the ball out and what they're going to try to do behind this running game, which is going to turn into play action. And I would think that Aiden O'Connell would be a better play action quarterback throwing a deeper ball than Gardner Minshew. But none of us know. 702-365-9200 if you want to get in. I want to thank our friends at Boyd Gaming. They were at the rookie draft mixer. I met a couple of the great people behind Boyd Gaming and their proud partnership of Raider Nation Radio, the Las Vegas Raiders, and this show. I thank Boyd Gaming. Locals, locals, locals.
There's never been a Celtic team ever with a better playoff record than what you guys have to this point. You guys have a chance to be second all time, and the 86 team went 82-18. You guys could be 2 games away from that. It's like the second best Celtic team ever in terms of record. How much more would that add to it when you think of all that this franchise has done? You guys could be at the top of a whole lot of lists in that record book.
I didn't know that. That would be really cool. But you guys probably would say we didn't play anybody to get here. So we got to do it again next year.
Jason Tatum. You look at that. I can't believe that. Bobby, let me bring you in here in a minute. You just said that when it comes from a win-loss record in the playoffs, you're a diehard Celtic fan. Congratulations for your fandom and your dedication. Do you think of this team as one of the great Celtic teams of all time? Because the stats say they're one of them. They're up there at the top of the list.
They're one of them, but I can't put them all the way at the top of the list just yet.
No.
You know, I mean, you're talking some legendary teams back in the 60s, the guys in the 70s, the 80s team, the big three. They're there. They're good. They're on a level with, like, say, Garnett and Pierce right now. They get a couple more titles, maybe they edge up to, like, the Havlicek-Cowens era, you know?
That's a good way of looking at it. How many more titles do they have to win? Look, we sat here last year and Denver won the title, and Denver looked unbeatable what was supposed to be this year. I thought Denver would have a really good chance at repeating. They didn't get there. Period. They didn't get out of the West. So Boston is already a heavy favorite from the odds going into next year to repeat. But that's always a team that wins is always the favorite the following year.
But then again, you got to remember, we got a whole nother year coming up. You got to go up against Giannis again. You got to go up against Embiid again. And that's just in the East.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be easy.
Yeah, remember Julius Randle didn't play most of the year with the Knicks.
You're probably going to lose Horford because he's going to retire. Yeah. Porzingis you got for another year, but he's a little dicey. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens.
This is interesting. I think Boston fans, and they're everywhere, really deserve the opportunity to celebrate a victory here today, and that's what we do. They'll have a parade. I don't like their parades. They get in the duck boats, and they tell everyone how great they are. That's what you do at parades, and they'll do that. So, Vinny Bonson, in your reporting, the Raiders will open training camp at Jack Hammett Sports Complex July 23rd in Costa Mesa, California. As the NFL announced that today, the team will welcome its rookies to Southern California on July 21st, veterans will join 2 days later. This will be the Raiders' first time holding workouts in Costa Mesa since their move to Las Vegas. They previously held their training camps in Henderson at the facility. The Raiders will break camp before their first preseason game against the Vikings on August 10th. So everybody look at your Raider calendar. And again, I don't have anything to do. I don't know what's going on. Tickets, who can go, LA fan. It's not my thing. But that's your window for Raiders training camp in Southern California to get out of here and cool off a bit, which I plan on doing. So that's July 20. I would think 23rd is when the vets report. July 23rd, Bobby. So let's look at that quickly here. July 23rd is a Tuesday. So hopefully we're out there. And then they'll break camp for the Viking game. So for the Viking game on August 10th. So that will be a road trip, and they'll break camp and probably go there, and we play the first game. So I think that's a good thing. For those who are waiting to hear more responses about this, they'll probably come after we do our top 10 games of all time. But this is what it is. This is what the coach wants. This is what the organization wants to do. I'm assuming the players are going to love this. Some players might not because they want to change diapers at night and sit out on their back patio and hit golf balls. Not happening. Going to work at training camp in Costa Mesa. And I think that'll be good for this team to set their focus and their mind on the task at hand. And the task at hand is to win one of the two first games. And relax. I didn't say the Raiders are going 2-0 against the Harbaugh brothers. Relax. Okay? Believe me. You slide into my DMs. Slide into my DMs if I predict the Raiders are going to go 2-0 out of the gate against Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, and Justin Herbert. I take a split all day long. I don't care who would, you know, you want to beat the Chargers in the division there. I think that's the best chance, but it's going to be interesting. And then there's still some free agents that are still available. Still some free agents who are still available. And how about this? This will spice up some Raider fans, Bobby. When we look at this, I saw this earlier today. The Raiders are given the second worst grade of the offseason by ESPN. The second worst grade. I'm a prime example that there's no drama to talk about. There's no Raider news that's negative. And good old ESPN gave them the second worst grade. You ready for this? The general consensus is that the Las Vegas Raiders had a strong offseason. They addressed one of their biggest needs in Christian Wilkins, and they used the number 13th pick, arguably, to get the best pass catcher in Brock Bowers. Still, not everyone is happy with the Raiders' move made, and Tom Telesco, in his first year with the team, In a recent article by Seth Walder, who? Seth Walder of ESPN, he graded all 32 teams offseason and ranked them 1 to 32. The Raiders came in 31st with a grade of D, just one spot above the Saints, because they didn't secure a long-term solution at quarterback. Not having the roster to support a major signing like Kirk Cousins and drafting last among the slew of the quarterback teams that needed one. The Raiders could have traded up, but it would have been for one of the second-tier quarterbacks. In lieu, they have Gardner Minshew at $15 million guaranteed. And then listen to this. This is really the icing on this Raider hater content. If it's true that the Raiders were unable to find their next franchise quarterback, but it wasn't for a lack of trying, the Raiders were active in pre-draft trades, trying to move up into the top 10 to select a quarterback. Unfortunately, nothing ever materialized, and the Raiders were stuck at the end of the quarterback run in round one. That is another unbelievable article on anti-Raider propaganda. The roster's better than last year, and this guy says it's worse because they couldn't get a quarterback. At least, I got to give this guy credit. I don't know who he is. I got to give him credit. He mentioned Christian Wilkins and he mentioned Brock Bowers. Most articles would just say the Raiders got a D on the offseason. I mean, look, if they play like a D, this guy's going to look like a genius. If not, I'll have this article right here on the bulletin board. Bobby, we don't use the printer around here much anymore. Get the printer out for this guy. As he gave the Raiders a D in 31 out of 32 for their offseason. Holy crap. I emceed the draft mixer yesterday with the moms and dads and the players. And it couldn't have been a better fun offseason. So far, knock on wood, no injuries. Everybody's showing up, staying later, doing everything. But there it is. There it is. Another Raider hater. Seth Walder. Seth W-A-L-D-E-R of ESPN. A D grade, 31 out of 32. Thanks, Seth.